We are thankful indeed for a privilege like this in which we can be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And just a few thoughts in connection with that name and our privilege. And I'll refer to a few scriptures. First, in the book of Exodus. Chapter 12, in connection with Israel. Exodus 12, we see the Lord giving instructions how they should gather when they come into the land. There it is said that they should, when they come into the land, where they should seek that place out where the Lord has placed his name. And then they Deuteronomy chapter 12. These are the statutes and ordinances which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their idols with fire. And ye shall hewn down the carved images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord. Verse 15. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall he seek, and there thou shalt come, and there thou shalt bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and freewill offerings and firstling of the herd and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that he put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. So in this portion we find there were vital instructions for Israel regarding worship. When they would go into the land which God had promised them, they were not to do as the heathens did, but they were to look and seek out that place where the Lord had placed his name. And in that place, they should bring their sacrifices, sacrifices of communion, sacrifices of worship, and all that they offered, freewill offerings, they were to bring it to that specific place which God had chosen. And then we find this repeatedly in chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. First, I'll read how many times they were to appear before the Lord. In verse 16 of chapter 16, there it is said, three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing which the Lord thy God had given thee. There again, when they come into the land, they are admonished to appear before the Lord three times a year. All the males were to appear, but not empty. They were to bring their sacrifices. And here we have three appointed feasts given. We know it was the Passover feast, and then there was the feast of Pentecost, and there were the feasts of tabernacles. Again, in verse 9:11 of this chapter, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and maidservant and Levi who is within thy gates, and sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widows who is among you, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. So there was also that joy and rejoicing in offering these sacrifices to the Lord. But they were to be careful, again, to go not under every green tree, to the place which God had given them to place his name. Well, how would this relate to us? And we are told in Matthew 18, Matthew 18:19-20, about our privilege to Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, we have power to act in verse 19, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We also can meet for prayer. If two or three shall agree on earth on anything and shall ask, we can ask in his name. And he hears us and gives us that which is according to his mind and will. And also we have privilege, even as we had this morning, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Yes, the Lord Jesus himself is in our midst. He is the center when we come together around his person, as we did this morning, and we own his very presence. And there he is in our midst, that we can worship, we can praise him, and he's there also to bless. But what sacrifice do we offer when we come together in his name? Unlike Israel, We do not offer the sacrifices of goats and rams and so on, but I just turned a few verses to show our privilege when we come together in his name. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is a privilege. It's a great privilege that we can come together, even as we did this morning, unto his name or in his name, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Israel had tangible sacrifices. And they were to offer up those sacrifices, and they were to rejoice in offering up those sacrifices. And God accepted it as something that was pleasing to him. Another verse or so that would suggest what we offer when we come together in the name of the Lord is in Hebrews chapter 13, I think. Yes, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. There it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There again, it's our privilege to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then it says, to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Yes, this speaks of our character as a holy priest. Yes, we offer up first what is to God, what is for God, spiritual sacrifices, and our royal priesthood, that we can reach out to others, to share, and to communicate. God is also pleased with such sacrifices. We have that thought also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a people of his own, that he should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, as a peculiar people, a special people, people who have been called out of this world. Yes, Israel was God's earthly people. They had been separated from the nations, and they were not to act like the nations. They were not to offer under any green tree, but they were to offer where God had chose to place his name. And so we are a special people, called out of the world, and we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of his own, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness, to show forth the excellencies of Christ. The nations were to learn from Israel and to see that God was in their midst. And so it is, we are to show forth the excellencies of Christ and to offer up praises to God that is acceptable to him. What a privilege we have of people called out of this world even to be a witness to the Lord Jesus in this scene where he was cast out, where he was rejected. And then finally, a few more verses in Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5, speaking of our privilege. And here the 24 elders, representative of the church, from verse 8, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us as a redeemed people by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Yes, Israel had these feasts. They had to appear for the Passover feast, which speaks of redemption. And we know connected to the Passover feast was the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks, in which there was to be no leaven found in their dwelling. And so it typifies that we are a redeemed people. And what should characterize us as a redeemed people? There should be no leaven in our walk, in our life. Should be holy before the Lord. Holiness. And we are told also in, I think, 1 Corinthians 5, that we are to keep the feast. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So the Passover feast is typical of our redemption. And connected with this feast was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Our whole life should be without leaven. We should be walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And therefore, in verse 8, wherefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So they were to appear for the Passover. Then they were to appear for the Feast of Weeks, of Pentecost, as is written in Deuteronomy. They were to count so many weeks and then appear before the Lord again to offer a new sacrifice unto the Lord. And that would speak of the day of Pentecost. Now, in Deuteronomy, again, chapter 16 and verse 9, 7 weeks shall thou number unto thee, beginning to number the 7 weeks from which such time as thou begin to put the sickle to the grain. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God, a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand. Thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according to as the Lord had blessed thee. So having appeared for the feast of Passover, now they were to wait for 7 weeks. That speaks of Pentecost. Speaks of what happened on the day of Pentecost. After the Lord Jesus had died and risen, he was here about 40 days, then ascended, and upon his ascension, 10 days after, the Holy Spirit came down to indwell the church. A new beginning, this feast of weeks, a new beginning, a new order of things was there. And the Lord Jesus alluded to that in John 7, when he was here, just a verse or two, in John 7, the great day of the feast, John 7, and there he said, on that great day of the feast, if anyone comes to me and drink, yes, John 7, 37, thank you, 37, John 7 and 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his heart or his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, whom they that believe him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, points to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given, when the church was formed, a new beginning. This Passover to Israel was a new beginning too. In Exodus 12, which I referred to earlier, a new beginning, the beginning of months. So, with Israel, the Feast of Weeks was also a new beginning. And the final feast that they were to appear before the Lord was the Feast of Tabernacles. I won't go into details, but the Feast of Tabernacles points to the joy that they would enter into in the time of the millennium. But we do not have to wait until that time. We can already enter into this joy, the joy that is given to us as believers, to enter into the things which are given to us now in view of that day that is to come, when the Lord Jesus would have his rightful place, when he would be given that place which belongs to him, and when we would share the privilege to rule and reign with him in his coming kingdom. So these things have spiritual applications for us. And just a few random thoughts. We can rejoice to know that we can be gathered to him in his presence now. He's in our very midst. And it is his pleasure to dispense to us the blessings. And we can offer. Sometimes, yes, we are occupied in praying and give and asking the Lord, but we can offer that which is pleasing to him. Spiritual sacrifices pleasing to him. What a privilege do we have. This name is also associated with many other things, but I would not go into details, even in discipline and all that in the assembly. But our privilege, what is our privilege that we can be gathered to his name and we can offer spiritual sacrifices to him for his name's sake. Amen.
Would you kindly turn with me to the book of Job? And I would read a few verses from the book of Job, chapter 38. Job chapter 38, beginning from verse 39. Dost thou hunt the prey for the lioness, and dost thou satisfy the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens and abide in the thicket to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God? They wonder for lack of meat. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Dost thou mark the calving of the hinds? Dost thou number the months that they fulfill? And knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they give birth to their young ones. They cast out their pains. Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open field. They go forth and return not unto them. Who has set out the wild as free? And who has loosed the bands of the onager? And verse 8, the range of the mountain is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. For a few moments, I would like to engage our hearts with, we come to Grove City, and for many of us, we love truly every meeting that the Lord will grant us in this scene to hear his voice and to open the scriptures. Many of you would come, in addition to that, to enjoy the fellowship with the saints of God. I wanted to read that verse or that portion in the book of Job because I think it gives me a little understanding of the mind of God concerning his own, especially when it comes to the thought of food, when it comes to the thought of birth, when it comes to the thought of liberty, when it comes to the thought of freshness. But before I enter into it, I just want you to be engaged a little bit about this wonderful book that is called Job, because not many of us like to be engaged in it. We know that he was a man that suffered tremendously, and that's wonderful as it is. But just for your information, he is one of these men that heaven's evaluation toward this man was so great that we all wonder what would be God's evaluation as far as you and I are concerned. The scripture opens up about Job that he was a man that was perfect or complete, upright, feared God, and abstained from evil. Four wonderful qualities. But when you follow the words of the Lord himself concerning Job, every time he speaks about Job, he adds another wonderful moral feature that was never mentioned before. The second time when the Lord speaks about Job, he speaks about him that there was none like him on the earth. So now it becomes five. And when you go to chapter 2, you would read of the sixth feature that God keeps adding toward this man. And he says, and he kept his integrity. He's a man of integrity. And we can learn tremendously from Job of how to be individuals of integrity in the last days of the testimony. But I want you to follow the mind of Satan and the mind of God, just for a few moments. That when it comes to Satan, he wanted to destroy Job in any possible way. And let me assure you, dear saints, when we are coming to Grove City, that the Satan or the enemy would love to hinder us in any possible way that he can bring our way, so that we will not think much about divine things, so that we will not be engaged in spiritual matters. We just come to have fun. Some of us will be sitting up there and they have the phone in their hand. And while somebody is speaking, they are looking into, I don't know if the internet or WhatsApp or a message or whatever it might be. Why is it that we do these things? Because Satan's mind and plan to hinder the people of God from enjoying the Lord Jesus. And when he starts hitting Job, I want you to follow that theme with me just for a few minutes. The first thing that we read of him, when God gave him permission, that he went after the oxen and he went after the wild asses. And they were feeding together. Let me assure you, as far as the word of God, you know, the Spirit of God is taking animal by animal, because I certainly believe that the Spirit of God has significance why Satan is going after Job in this way. The first thing that I would like to suggest to you that Satan will desire to hinder us, dear brethren, with the thought of oxen, is the thought of our service and our attitude in serving the Lord. He would like to break it at any given moment. He would like us to forget that we have a Lord. He would like us to forget that we have the Father's business. Yes, it was said of the Lord Jesus, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business." But the Father's business is our business at the same time. It is our business. And Satan will desire to break and to bring every occasion possible so that you and I will give up as far as serving the Lord while we are here. But then there was the wild asses, or the asses themselves. And you would think to yourself, what is Satan now? Okay, so he wants to take the mentality of serving the Lord. The second thing is, when you consider the thought of an ass, you will go to the New Testament and you would read about one colt ass that was tied up and it was brought to the Lord Jesus. There was no man that ever ridden on it, but it was brought to the Lord Jesus for one purpose and one purpose only. He says, the Lord said, I have need of it. And you know what was the need of the Lord Jesus? That he was riding this wild ass. You know what the riding means? I always say that if you want to learn how to be a good priest, you learn it from the sheep. And if you want to learn how to be a good Levite, you learn it from the donkey. Because the donkey had the greatest privilege of carrying the Lord Jesus here on earth. And the second thing that Satan, dear saints, he will desire to hinder our testimony as we are carrying the ark. He hates the saints of God to see them proclaiming Christ Jesus in the scene of wilderness. And then you follow on, you will see that there was the sheep. The sheep, the spirit of subjection. No wonder everybody likes to do what is right in their own eyes, because we don't want to submit to the will of God. We don't want to submit to the lordship of Christ. The lordship of Christ is becoming very foreign to the Christian company. What do you mean I have to be in subjection? What do you mean I have to be in obedience? Well, maybe you forgot what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about submitting to the lordship of the Lord Jesus and obeying the word of God. This is what Christianity. But we're going along with the times we're living in, 2023. The book of Judges is before us all over again. That everyone does what is all right in their own eyes. Satan will take our service. Satan will destroy our testimony. Satan will destroy our spirit of subjection to the will of the Lord. And then you would say to yourself, and what next? What do you want to do after that? He goes after the camels. And you know what? The camels in the wilderness, just think of John the Baptist, that his cloth was from the camel's skin. It speaks about the endurance. Dear saints of God, especially the young ones, listen carefully. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on the meetings. If there is something spiritually that the camels speak of, it is endurance. Endure. It's so easy when difficulties come in. It is so easy when we see the difficulties come in that we will say, I give up. That's it. It's not for me. I'm leaving the meeting, you know. I don't see perfection. I don't see what I always wanted to see. And we have all these excuses that will come to our mind. But the Spirit of God is explaining to me that Satan desired to attack the spiritual figure or picture of the camel to the believer, that he doesn't want us to endure, to stay under the authority. There are three words that you know them very well, but it's good to be reminded of them. They both are from two compounded words. The first thing is submitting, subjection. Means getting under, Obedience is learning under. Endurance is staying under. No matter what the circumstances, dear saints of God, please, I beg you, don't give up. It is so easy to give up. It is so easy to say, I had enough. That's it. It's not for me anymore. But oh, when there is a Christian that desires to honor the Lord, they will continue in that pathway until He comes. The Lord will give them the endurance, will give them the energy, will give them the strength, as long as you and I are willing to receive it from the Lord. And the last thing that Satan's mind was, you know what? He took away the service of the people of God. He took away the testimony of the people of God. He took away the spirit of subjection and obedience to the voice of the Lord. He took away the endurance for them to endure the pathway, because the Lord Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We cannot take it anymore. But at the end, He took the children of Job. And dear saints of God, especially older brethren, listen to me very carefully. Satan is on a mission to destroy the next generation amongst the people of God. That is his mission presently. That the generation that is coming after generation, that Satan have every desire to sift them, to push them, to set them aside, and to destroy this generation. Just when Satan thought that the generation of Job has been dealt with, they are gone, they are destroyed, then we see the mind of God when we come to the last chapters of the book of Job. So dear brethren, keep this in mind. You can observe it in your local meeting, you can observe it in the world. That Satan is on a mission to destroy the next generation so that they have no desire to follow God, no desire for the truth. Reading? What do you mean reading? Reading books to help me understand the scripture? That's becoming foreign amongst the people of God. But oh, I'll tell you, you tell them read a book, a story, some kind of story of a hero, of Superman or whatever, all these movies, they come on board. I'm telling you, they're all willing. But tell them to read the scripture nowadays. It's something that is foreign. But here's the mind of God, and I want to close with it because I only have 7 minutes. That in that portion of chapter 38, we read about certain features. But the first feature, as far as Job chapter 38, that God desires to sustain His people. You know, you are saying to me, Brother John, we're talking about the lions, and we're talking about the ravens. Yes, we are talking about these things. Because they are lessons to us. In fact, the Lord Jesus, when He described about the sparrow, in the eyes of man, how little they are so slight, and yet God cares for them. But then He adds that statement, and you are greater than the sparrows. So if God, in His own nature, out of His loving heart, He desired to bring food so that every creature is being sustained, how about the saints of God, dear brethren? Can we be on the same page, in tune with God's mind, that we can provide something this week in every occasion that the Spirit of God will give us? Whether the adult Bible class, whether the optional, whether the young singles today, young adults, or whether the young people, and there are the classes of the children, can we have the mind of God of bringing certain food that will sustain the people of God? That will give them the nourishment that is needed. Listen, the lioness are waiting. They are going for hunting. The young lions, dear saints, we have young lions amongst us that need to be fed. There are those from the raven that is crying to God that they will feed them. And I can assure you that there were many saints that came to this conference with much prayer, with much crying to the Lord, please feed our souls. And I wonder, dear brethren, if we will be exercised, all of us collectively, that our desire this week is not to just bring my own thought. It's not only for me to come down and open the scripture and tell you what I know. And not only to exchange information. And we don't want the word of God just to stick here. Because if it went only here, it's not going to have any effect upon you practically. It has to sink to your heart's affection. So, dear brethren, let's not come just everyone has their own plan. Let's have the mind of God that He wants to sustain His people. He wants to feed them. There is the lions. There are the ravens. You know, if I gave an example of the lions, the Lord Jesus is the lion out of the tribe of Judah. And may it be that there will be young ones and older ones. that the lion out of Judah will be a reproduction in their life and my life. And oh, when you think about this unclean animal raven, that God could use any mean to feed his own. After all, he fed the prophet. The raven that will eat everything was the tool and the mean to feed the prophet. God is in control, not you, not me. We don't come with our own ideas. We come with his own idea. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. The next thought of it is that the thought of birth, the thought of the hinds with the calves, the thought of knowing the time in relationship to birth. And what a celebration if we wait upon the Lord to witness sometimes in a company like this, to witness that individuals have enjoyed the new birth, that there is something of the idea of life, the idea of birth, being given, being seen in a soul that will surrender to the rights of the Lord Jesus. What a joy, not only here on earth, what a joy in heaven, when every sinner that will repent will bring such a tremendous joy to heaven. But there is the thought of birth. And dear brethren, we delight to see that there are those that will have and enjoy this wonderful truth of new birth that will come and usher into the family of God. But just to close with, and the strong shall grow. Oh, dear saints, please. If there is any benefit from a conference like this, it's that we want to witness, all of us, but we always say the young people, just because a good number came this year. Let's not disappoint them. Let's not disappoint them. Because you know why they are here? Yes, they want to fellowship with their saints, with their sisters, with their young brothers. Yes, they do. But they have a desire to grow. That if there is any hope for you and for me to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it has to be from the Word of God. And dear brethren, when you are presenting the Word of God, have the interest of the saints before you, that they will have something to enjoy, that they will have something to cause them to grow in their faith, to be built up in their own holy faith. And then in closing, dear saints, that you will see over here that it says the growth, they go forth and return not. They grow up in the open field. How wonderful to see them growing in this world that will offer them every single thing to take away from their growth. But yet, if the right words are given, if the right messages are given, if the right scripture is open, you can rest assured that they will grow. And I read the last thing, the last two things, is that speaks about two things. Liberty. He speaks of who liberated this animal. God is the one who brings liberty. And dear brethren, let me allow me to bring it in a moral, spiritual way. Especially in reading, especially in ministry, especially in occasions where we wait upon the Spirit of God. Because sometimes we take the scripture out of context. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But the liberty of the Christian is not you do whatever you want to do. This liberty of Christianity is governed by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that governs such a liberty. So although we have liberty, although if the Lord will give a brother a word, whatever it might be, let it be that it is a liberty that is governed by the Spirit of God, not a liberty for the flesh. And in closing, dear brethren, I read about this animal that will go to the mountain and he would look for everything that is green. Let's bring freshness to our gathering. Let's bring the freshness of the Word of God. We tend to bring the Word of God and somehow the hearers might feel it's stale. It's stale. Our God is a God of variety, I always say it. When he provided food, he didn't provide food for the same company through the history of the saints of God or through the history of mankind. In the beginning of creation, he gave special food. You can eat from every tree. There was no meat yet. There was no manna yet. There was no corn of the land yet. There was no roasted lamb yet. But he gave them special food. And then he brings this freshness of the roasted lamb. What a wonderful, fresh aspect of the food of God to engage us in Christ as the one who suffered and loved us and gave himself for us. And then he realizes that we need the manna. And he gives us the manna because that's the only food that's going to sustain us in the wilderness. And then he says, I'm going to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. These are not the subjects. They are conferences by themselves. But I'm going to bring you to the land of the milk and honey. And I'm going to give you the corn of the lamb, of the land. Because God wants to engage us in the resurrection and exaltation of his well-beloved son. And you continue moving on until the real food comes to earth. And there is none other but the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is the food of every believer. And dear saints of God, let's keep it fresh. Let's keep it fresh. And may it be so that this week of conference will be a week that we might enjoy the Word of God with all its riches. Because after all, it speaks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. But may it be also that we might bring things from the Word of God that will be a fresh food for the saints of God so that they might enjoy it. And the result of their enjoyment, there will be growth in the life of every believer for his name's sake.